look out into the religious world, so-called today, we would find many, many different names of different religions and sectarian bodies. There are the more popular ones of Catholics and Baptists, and United Church, and Pentecostals, and some of those that we're quite familiar with. And yet if we were to read the Word of God, we would find that there are none of these names mentioned in that way at all in the Word of God. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we read this. That all Scripture, that is all writings, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for construction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. A Christian needs nothing more than the Word of God to make him fully developed in the things of the Lord and to bring him into a good testimony before God and before men. 2 names divide the Lord's people. You might be surprised if I will tell you that when all of the Lord's people are in heaven, they won't be called by any sectarian names. There won't be any Baptists in heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there aren't any people that are among the Baptists that aren't going to heaven. I'm simply saying this, that they'll have to leave their sectarian name behind when they go. They won't be known as Baptists in heaven. The body of Christ and the church of Christ is one body. And the Lord's people in his sight are one people. And they are not divided. And sectarian names and sectarian systems divide the people of God. They divide that which God has united and brought together in a divine unity. Now in the Word of God, there are at least five different names that the people of God were known by in the New Testament. I want to look at four of these briefly, but the fifth one I want to look at more extensively. What name ought we to call ourselves by? Now that we are no longer children of Adam and no longer children of wrath, no longer in the family of man and the family of Adam, now we belong to the family of God. Now we've been born again, born anew into the family of God. Then what name ought we to call ourselves by? Now these five names that are mentioned in the Word of God, they're all in the New Testament. The first one is in Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And there is the name of believers. Believers were the more added to the Lord, both men and women. Believers. The early people of God were called believers. Believers. Now they were not called that name as a title. Nowhere do we read about believer Paul or believer John, although we know John was a believer and Paul was a believer. They were called believers and known as believers because of their faith and their trust in Christ. That's something that they had done. At a previous time, they had come to realize their need of Christ, and they believed in him, so they were rightly known as believers. But it was never used as a title.
It was only used as a common noun to depict the character of the people of God. They were believers. All God's people are believers. There's no way that you can be a child of God without being a believer. So they were called believers. Then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, we have two names there that the Christians at Colossae and elsewhere were known by. It says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus. To the saints. Now I know that if you take the popular idea of the word saint, it's associated with somebody that is so holy and so good that they're just not fit for this old wicked world, and the Lord evidently takes them away, catches them away, and they become canonized somewhere out in eternity, and they become a saint. I might say that in your Bible, we have what the translators of the King James and other translations call the Gospel according to St. Matthew. But nowhere in the text of the Bible do you ever see that word saint used in that way. Matthew was a saint, but he never had a title, Saint Matthew. Mark was a saint, but he never had the title, Saint Mark, in the Word of God. Paul was an apostle, but he never had the title Apostle Paul. You don't read it anywhere in the Word of God. John was an apostle, and John was a saint, but nowhere do you read in the Word of God about Saint John and the Apostle John. You see, the misuse of these names and the Bible use of these names are two different things. The people of God were believers because of their faith in Christ and their faith in God. They were saints. The word saint comes from the word sanctify. The word sanctify means to set apart. And we're all saints in that we're set apart for God. We belong to Him. God has taken us out of the world of sinners and the world of sin, a people for His namesake, and we're set apart for Him. So we're saints by our separation. We're believers by our faith. Now there's another word in Colossians 1, 2, and elsewhere in the Word of God, that of brethren. Brethren. Now, beloved, I'm fully aware that many people look upon us as the so-called brethren or the Plymouth Brethren. But let me say this, that I'm not a Plymouth Brethren, and I'm not a brethren with a capital B in a sectarian sense. I am a brother in Christ, but I'm a brother to everyone that's in Christ. Regardless of who they are, what color they are, where they are, or where they go, if a person is in the family of God, then we're all brethren in Christ. But to use this word, this name, in a sectarian sense is wrong. Though it's a biblical name, it's wrong to use it that way. Saint is a biblical name, and we're all saints. But it would be wrong to call ourselves Saint so-and-so and Saint so-and-so. The word brethren has to do with our family relationship. You see, these names, these common names that the early believers were called, only depict their character. They are a result of their actions. They are not titles given to the children of God. They are but names that tell us about the wonderful characteristics of the people of God. They're believers because of their faith. They are saints because they're separated unto the Lord. They are brethren because they are in the same family. They have one Father, God, and one Master, Christ, and they're all brethren. These are lovely names, but names that ought not to be in any way misused by the people of God. Then there's another one, that of disciples. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The Lord chose 12 disciples. There's the name disciples. Now a disciple, the word disciple comes from the word a learner. One who learns with a view of following. To become a disciple of anybody means that you are taught by them or taught about them and you follow them in what you have been taught. In the Lord's day, there were certain people that were said they were disciples of Moses. That means that the law, the Ten Commandments, and the teachings of the Jews' religion that came through Moses, they believed that and they were following that and they were learners and followers of Moses. Now a disciple of the Lord is one that is taught and follows the ways of the Lord. And this is characteristic in some measure of all the Lord's people. We all follow in some measure the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's no more than in the way to be saved, we've at least followed that much of the teachings of Christ. And we've come as sinners and bowed our hearts and trusted Christ as our Savior. And this is the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the Word of God. There's no other way to be saved. You follow the Lord in the waters of baptism in a scriptural way. Then, beloved, you are a disciple. You've been taught, or you've learned, as it were, from the Lord about baptism, and you've submitted yourself to it, and in that respect, you're a disciple. But again, nowhere is this word used as a title or in a sectarian sense. We don't read of disciple Ananias in Acts chapter 9, but we do read there that Ananias was a disciple. He was a follower of the Lord. But he was not called Disciple Ananias or some such title as that. Beloved, these four names are very good biblical names. They are not names that we are to be known by, but they are names that ought to stamp the characteristic of the Lord's people. They are names that need not necessarily apply to anything to do with the Lord. For the name believer could most certainly apply to a Muslim, to a Hindu, to a Buddhist, or any of those Oriental or any other religions apart from Christianity. The name saints, all religions have those select group of people that they classify as saints. The name brethren, you can find that in any local union around here, the Brotherhood of Railroad Workers and so on. So the name brethren doesn't especially have to be associated with the name of the Lord. Disciples, there are many disciples today, disciples of Buddha and the Bahas and all the different isms. They're all disciples, followers of that particular thing. But there is a name that is associated with the name of the Lord, a name that is distinctly and does distinctly belong to the Lord, and this is a name that we ought to bear. It's found in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It says, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I want to show you something about the name of God, maybe that you didn't know before. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have a verse there. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it says this, verse 9, speaking about graven images. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Notice that. God is jealous. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Did you know that before, that God was jealous? visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God says, I am a jealous God. God says, thou shalt not take what? My name in vain. What is God jealous about? God is jealous about his name. The name of the Lord is holy. That means it's saintly. That means it's set apart. That means it's sanctified. That means it's hallowed. It's in a class all by itself. In the so-called Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his people to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to be set apart from all other names. Hallowed be thy name. The name of the Lord is hallowed. It's in a class all by itself. And there's none other that can be associated with it. God is jealous for his name. Now look with me in Ezekiel chapter 39 and in verse 25. And the Lord speaks of Israel and bringing again the captivity of Judah, of Jacob, and having mercy on the whole house of Israel for one reason. And in Ezekiel 39, verse 25, he says this, and will be jealous for my holy name. See, God is jealous for his holy name. I know people say, oh, what matters what you call yourself? If you're a Christian, or if you're a Baptist, or if you're a Pentecostal, what matters as long as you know the Lord and love the Lord and serve the Lord? Beloved, if you know the Lord and serve the Lord and love the Lord, and you know that God is jealous for his name, then you'll guard the name of God. And you'll have the same jealousy for God's name as God has himself. The Lord said, I will be jealous for my name. You say, what does that mean? I thought jealousy was sinful. Well, jealousy in the sense that we know jealousy is always sinful. But, beloved, when God says that he's jealous for his name, it simply means this. The word jealous means he's zealous for his name. He has a great zeal for his name. He wants his name to be a part and not associated and mixed up with anything else. He wants it distinct and clear and open and plain. He's jealous for his name. Now in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 43, there's a lovely portion of the Word of God there that shows the redemption of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 says this, But now thus saith the Lord God that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, Fear not, for I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. You see, here the Lord is taking Israel, calling her, and taking her unto himself as his people. In other words, he's bringing them into the new birth. As in verse 7 it says, Even everyone that is called by name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God chose a people called Israel for his name's sake. He said, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. You see, the imagery here is simply this. It's like a man, a young man, going out and finding himself a girlfriend. And they go together for a while, and they're in love one with another. And all of a and suddenly the fellow proposes, and they become one another's, and they take one another as man and wife, and they become one another's. The Lord said, I have redeemed thee, I have bought thee, O Israel, I have called thee by thy name, I've spoken personally to you, and called you, and redeemed you, and thou art mine, you belong to me. I wonder, dear friend, Christian friend, do you realize that you belong to the Lord? You don't belong to anything else. You can join all the isms and denominations in the land, but basically you belong to the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he goes on to say a little bit about the redemption and so on, and then he gets over into verse 7 and he says this, in describing these people, his people, he says, they're everyone that is called by my name. They were known by the name of the Lord. They were known by God's name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. In the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah put it in similar words. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah had an identifying name. He was God's prophet. It was distinctly a name that was associated with Jehovah, the Lord God of hosts, and he was called by his name. The people of God in the Old Testament were known by the name of God. As a nation, they were called Israel. But as a people of God, they were known as God's people, and they were associated with his name. Now, it's no different in the New Testament. I want to show you some places in the New Testament that tells us the same thing. In Acts chapter 15, Peter is speaking at a meeting that they have at Jerusalem in connection with the Gentiles who have been saved. And Peter goes on to show that the Old Testament prophet, David, spoke, or the Old Testament prophets rather, spoke about the tabernacles of David, the house of Israel, and how that the Gentiles would be brought in to salvation. So he says in Acts chapter 15, verse 14, Simeon or Peter hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out a people for his name. Notice that. To take out of them a people for what? For his name. See, the Lord is jealous for his name. The Lord's name is to be hallowed. It's to be set apart. And if you're a child of God, you ought to bear the name of the Lord only. The name that God has given you. The name that is associated with the name of the Lord. Now verse 15 of Acts 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets. As it is written, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up, that the residue, the rest of the men, might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, notice this, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Upon whom my name is called. That verse distinctly and clearly says that the Gentiles that would be saved have the name of the Lord called upon them. They are called by the name of the Lord. They are called after the name of the Lord. Now let me say this, that these sectarian names, Baptists, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Catholic, Protestants, what have you, these, beloved, are not associated with the name of the Lord. They have nothing in them that indicates his name. That is not calling yourself after the name of the Lord. Countless of thousands of those type of people know not the Lord as their Savior. They don't know. They just have a sectarian name. God's people, the Gentiles, were to be called out for his namesake. They were to have the name of the Lord called upon them. Now, if you search the New Testament, you'll see that in one place, in Acts chapter 11, that there's a name called upon God's people that's associated with the name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, Paul and Barnabas are at Antioch. This is a Gentile city. They have been saved. They stay there for a whole year teaching the Word of God. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 11, 26. When Barnabas had found Saul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and they taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christian. That name is different than any other name in the New Testament. It's always used, and it's three occasions. It's always used as a proper noun. It's used as a title. The name Christian means Christ one. The Lord says in Isaiah 43, verse 1, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. You belong to me, God says. And a Christian is a Christ one, one that belongs to Christ. Now a Catholic is one that belongs to the Catholic Church. A Baptist is one that belongs to the Baptist. An Anglican was one that belongs to the Anglican. Now they could be Christians too. But I'm pointing out that as a Baptist, they are a Baptist because they belong to a Baptist church. As an Anglican, they are an Anglican because they belong to the Anglican church, and so on. A German, in the strict sense, is one that belongs to Germany. An American is one that belongs to America. And a Christian is one that belongs to Christ. Not one that belongs to a so-called Christian church or a Christian religion. Or one that's born in a Christian land. But he's one that belongs to Christ. Do you get that? The Lord Jesus has received you. And when you received him and you belong to him, you don't belong to anybody else. Oh, how dishonoring for a child of God to bear any other name apart from the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has exalted that name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Beloved, why not confess that name now? Why not tell out that name now? And bear the name of the Lord. The Lord is jealous for his name, his holy name. And the name Christian most certainly is identity with the name of Christ. Most certainly honoring to Christ that you're a Christ one. Now, if you will turn this tape over, the message will continue on the other side. All through the Bible, the New Testament, the name of the Lord Jesus is magnified. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Colossians 3, verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, you're to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everywhere they went forth preaching in his name. Then in Matthew 18, verse 20, it says, when you come together as a church, you should gather in the name of the Lord, where two or three are gathered together in my name, unto my name, known by my name, bearing my name, and calling themselves by my name alone. Oh, how foolish it is for people to say, well, we're Baptists or we're Presbyterians, but we're Christians too. We gather in the name of the Lord too. Beloved, you're not gathering in the name of the Lord if you're publicly known and call yourself Baptists and Presbyterians and Anglicans and so on. That's a name that is dishonoring to the name of Christ. It's a name that is virtually a denial of the name of Christ. Let me illustrate it this way. Over 30 years ago, I met a woman. She was a Miss Donaldson. There came a time after we went together for some time that we decided we'd get married. And we got married. And now my wife is no longer known as Miss Donaldson. She's Mrs. Smith. Now, beloved, what would you think if my wife went out in public and she called herself Mrs. Brown or Mrs. Jones or Mrs. White or something like that? What a dishonor it would be to my name. What a denial it would be of my name. She belongs to me. She's mine. And she bears my name, and she rightly bears my name, and she ought to bear my name. And not to bear my name would be a dishonor to it. And how much so, more so, when you come as a lost sinner and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you received Him, and He received you, and He says, you're mine, you belong to me, and my name will be called upon you, and you'll be known as mine. And what better name do you know of in the Word of God than the name Christian, Christ one? Oh, that all God's people would bear that name. We wouldn't have over 600 different Protestant religions and sectarian names in our land to confuse the unsaved people. If people would bear the name of Christian and explain to the world and show to the world that they belong to Christ and not some wicked religious system that divides the body of Christ into hundreds and hundreds of little sects and pieces. Christian, that's all you're ever going to be in heaven. You'll never be anything more than that in heaven, so why be anything more on earth? We're going to exalt the name of the Lord together in heaven. Why not do it on earth? Why not call ourselves by His name? And we belong to Him. Oh, yes, I know I'm hollering a bit, but you know, I get kind of excited about these things. If you loved the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd understand what I mean. Listen, if God has highly exalted that name, as I pointed out in Philippians chapter 2, if God has highly exalted that name above every name, why shouldn't we? Oh, how many dear people of God that we ask them if they're saved, if they're on the way to heaven, they say, oh, yes, I'm a Baptist. Oh, yes, I go to the Pentecostal church, and I went forward in that church. Oh, I belong to this church. Now, I'm not saying they're not Christians. Many of them are truly born-again Christians. But are they exalting the name of the Lord when they say, I'm a Baptist, and I'm a Pentecostal, and I'm an Anglican, and so on? They're not lifting His name up. They're not exalting His name.